Some time ago, we received an envelope in the Sunday collection containing a $5 bill and a note. And this is what was written on the note. I was once homeless, and you helped me. I am no longer homeless, and so I would like you to use this for someone in need. Evidently, that person received the generosity of our cathedral family, probably through the second collection for the poor, and wanted to pay it forward to someone else. In fact, that kind of behavior is what is called paying it forward, where we receive a blessing, an act of generosity, and in turn we pass that generosity on to someone else. Last month I was driving up Wall Street, north of Wellesley, and noticed a large homemade sign in someone's yard. And it read, "Pay it forward." And I kind of wondered what act of generosity that homeowner had experienced and how he or she responded themselves by paying it forward. The foundational virtue which underlines pay it forward is, of course, the virtue of generosity. With some people, the well of generosity runs deep. A recently homeless person probably doesn't have a lot of money, not a lot left over. And yet that person's generosity inspired them to help someone else. The importance of generosity and paying it forward lies at the heart of our gospel this morning. Jesus tells the parable of the rich man who had a bountiful harvest, much more grain than he had any idea what to do with, so much so that the barns that he had were inadequate. So what does he do? He tears them down, tears down the old barns to build up larger, more modern ones, and then he loads in that huge amount of grain. And after the grain is all loaded in, he feels a sense of satisfaction. He says, "Now I can eat, drink, and be merry." But that very night, he dies, perhaps from a massive heart attack. And all his wealth that he had stored up for himself becomes useless. And in fact, our Lord says that God says to the man, "You fool." Almighty God calls him a fool for what he did. Jesus concludes the parable by saying, "Thus it will be for all who store up treasure for themselves but are not rich in what matters to God, and take care to guard against all greed. One's life does not consist of possessions." This is a gospel which obviously challenges us to avoid greed and to guard against our possessions controlling us. And it seems to me that one of the surest ways of accomplishing this is to strive to foster that virtue of generosity in our lives. After all, isn't it true that each one of us wants to be known as being generous? We don't want people to talk about us as people who are cheap or stingy or greedy. I have an older priest friend who has always encouraged me to be generous. He said, "If you're going to make a mistake, err on the side of generosity. Generosity with your time, your priesthood, your talent, your treasure." And we resist that sometimes, I think, because we fear maybe being taken advantage of, or perhaps we think if I give of this, there's not going to be enough left over for me. In those times, we must remember that God always rewards our generosity, and that our generosity always pales in comparison to God's. And we have that example for us every single time we come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We offer God bread and wine. He takes our gifts, transforms them, and then gives them back to us as gifts that are far more valuable than what we gave him. Our gifts look silly in comparison to receiving from him the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. At Mass, as I'm sitting in the celebrant's chair, the way the chair is angled, I often look at that window over there, the window of the Incarnation. And in the lower part of the window are the words donated by the Altar Society. And as I'm admiring the window, I think about those ladies. I wonder who they were. Their names, of course, are lost to history. We don't know who they are. But I am thankful. I thank God that they chose to sacrifice and scrimp and save and pay it forward for us today. And because they paid it forward, we have that beautiful window for all of us to enjoy. I'm of the firm belief that every Catholic should prayerfully consider paying it forward by leaving some portion of their estate to the church, to the parish, to the seminary, to priest retirement, to their Catholic elementary school. Myself, I don't have a whole lot, but a long time ago, I set up my will to be divided three ways. One share to my sister, one share to my brother, and one share to the endowment at Bishop White Seminary. My sister tells me that she should have gotten a little more. And as I've thought about that, you know, I'm here, I'm starting my 10th year here at the cathedral. Amazing. And as I think about my future, I'd love to finish out maybe 10 or 15 more here at the cathedral. And so it occurs to me that I need to pay that forward. This has been a great blessing in my life and a profound privilege. And so soon I'm sure I will go back and rework my will to leave something for the cathedral to pay it forward. Now, where am I going to get that? I'm going to have to cut back on my siblings. I don't think I'll tell my sister until I die. She'll just find out at that point. The rich man in the gospel didn't pay anything forward. In fact, it probably went to his greedy children, who ended up fighting over the inheritance. That's how the gospel begins today. There's a brother who goes to our Lord and says, "Jesus, can you make my brother give me my share of the inheritance?" The gospel day begins with a fight over the will. As a priest, I've unfortunately seen this many times in families. When the last parent dies, and I don't care if there's $10 left or $10 million, all too often the siblings begin to fight with each other. "Well, you had that in life, and I never got this." And old scabs of broken relationships get picked off. And those wounds are exposed, and there's all kinds of fighting and division. Think about the attitude of that recently homeless person who paid forward $5 and then contrast it with the rich man building bigger and better barns to hold his wealth, only to die suddenly in his sleep. One is an attitude of generosity, the other is an attitude of greed. Very shortly, we will once again approach our cathedral altar to receive the Holy Eucharist, which is a sacramental sign of God's generosity to us. And in the sacraments, we receive grace, we receive God's help, which we need today, especially in light of our readings, to help us to be less greedy, less controlled by our possessions, and more willing to be generous, knowing that God will always reward our generosity in this life, and more importantly, in the life that is to come. In a phrase, may each of us strive to pay it forward.